Hey friends, welcome to The Drivecast, a daily podcast designed to help us read it in, pray it up, and live it out. My name's Dan, and I serve as the teaching pastor for our Worthington campus. Let's take a moment to first read it in. If you were with us this weekend, you know, we were through our Now Playing series with the movie, How to Train Your Dragon. It's a fun story. There's an animated version, live action video, which is the one that we talked about today. But underneath the storyline, this is a movie dealing with some incredibly heavy ideas. Primarily, the one that I want to talk about is the sociology of the other. The movie is set on the island of Burke, a place defined by a single driving narrative, us versus them. Vikings versus dragons. Their entire identity is built on having an enemy to fight. They even have a manual, a book of dragons, which essentially categorizes every living thing outside their tribe as something to be destroyed. Now, it's easy to judge the Vikings, but we have our own manuals, don't we? Like, we have our own internal lists of who is safe and who is dangerous, who is in and who is out. This is exactly where we find the Apostle Peter in Acts chapter 10. He's a man who has been trained by his culture and his religious history to maintain a strict separation between the clean and the unclean. He believes that to be faithful to God, he must remain separate from the other, in this case, the Gentiles. But God disrupts Peter's manual with a vision that shatters his categories and becomes like the defining moment for Christianity for the rest of its existence. So, let's listen to the passage from Acts chapter 10. I'm going to jump around a little bit. We're going to read a few key sections, the introduction, Peter's vision, and then the moment that the walls come down. Acts chapter 10, starting in verse 1. At Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion of what was known as the Italian cohort, a devout man who feared God with his whole household. He gave alms generously to the people, and he prayed to God continually. Jump down to verse 9. The next day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up to the housetop about the sixth hour to pray. And he became hungry and wanted something to eat. But while they were preparing it, he fell into a trance and saw the heavens opened and something like a great sheet descending, being let down by its four corners upon the earth. In it were all kinds of animals and reptiles and birds of the air. And then a voice came to him saying, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "By no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." And the voice came again a second time, "What God has made clean, do not call common." This happened three times, and the thing was taken up at once to heaven. Down to verse 28. And Peter said to them, "You yourselves know how unlawful it is for a Jew to associate with or to visit anyone from another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any person common or unclean." So Peter opened his mouth and said, "Truly I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him." Let's take a moment to talk about what it looks like to pray this up. When we look at this passage, it is easy to critique Peter for being narrow-minded. We have to have some empathy here with him, some compassion for Peter. Peter wasn't trying to be mean. He's trying to be faithful. He was trying to stay safe. And that brings us to a central concept that I really want us to sit with. I spent a lot more time on this in the message. And so if you'd like more context, you can head back and listen to get some more details there. But essentially, I want us to talk about what I'm calling the house of fear. There's a profound reality that spiritual writers have noted for years, that fear rarely looks like panic. In our daily lives, fear usually dresses up as a virtue. It dresses up as protecting our heritage or standing for truth or simply common sense. And when we retreat into the house of fear, we lock the doors and tell ourselves that we are just keeping bad things out. But the tragedy is that we may actually be locking ourselves in. We may actually be becoming prisoners of our own defense mechanisms. In the movie, the main character, Hiccup, he stands over this dragon that he has somehow caught, and he's holding a knife in his hand. He's been told his whole life that killing this other will make him a man. It will secure his identity, his place in the tribe. But there's this central tension running through this moment where Hiccup can't do it. He looks at the dragon, this creature he is told to hate, incentivized to hate, and he sees fear in his eyes. And in seeing the dragon's fear, he recognizes his own. And that is the prayerful pivot I think we need to make today. The gospel doesn't just tell us be nice to other people who are different from us. It goes so much deeper. The gospel begins to dismantle the house of fear, brick by brick, showing us that we really have no high ground ourselves to stand on. See, the reason we build walls is that we are often terrified of losing our identity. If I let, quote, them, unquote, in, who am I? But the gospel answers this, saying you are a beloved child of God, not because of what you have defeated, but because of who has defended you. Right? Jesus is the ultimate barrier breaker. He didn't just shout instructions from heaven. He came down and entered into the house of fear. He let the walls close in around him. He was treated as an ultimate outsider, rejected, mocked, considered unclean and shameful on the cross, so that we, by faith in him, associated with him, who are actually outsiders to God's holiness, could be brought in. And so as we reflect on this, I want you to ask God to show you the knife. Remember Hiccup holding that knife over the heart of the dragon. Who is the person or group that when you see them, think about them, your stomach clenches a little bit? Who is the other that you may feel justified in dismissing? It might be for political reasons. It might be for cultural reasons. It might be a family member who has hurt you. And there may be very good reasons to put up a wall. The prayer today isn't, God, help me to tolerate them. The prayer is far more audacious. God, show me how you see me, so I can stop being afraid of them. When we realize that we are all wounded people in need of a healer, the knife feels very heavy in our hands, and we find grace to drop it. Now we can talk about living this out. See, Peter's vision wasn't just a theological update. It was a command to change his calendar. Rise, kill, and eat. Go to the house of the centurion. Sit at the table. In our cultural moment, like, we love the idea of unity in the abstract, but we struggle with it in the concrete. It's easy to love the world, right? It's very hard to love the person in the cubicle next to you who listens to that podcast you hate because you know what they're going to be talking about. Living this out means realizing that the opposite of fear isn't just courage, it is a hospitality. It is a slow, steady work of opening the door. And this is not something that we just easily snap our fingers and jump into. In the movie, the people of Burke didn't just stop killing dragons. They actually enter into this really bizarre but beautiful partnership with them. They realized that the very gifts they feared or the things that they feared had become gifts that their entire society desperately needed. And this is a part of the vision of the kingdom. Like, not just a ceasefire, it is a new creation where lion and lamb are able to join together. Those that should be enemies are able to lay down together. It is a new creation where former enemies become partners in God's work. So here is the challenge for us, like for your Friday afternoon, your Monday morning. The challenge is to move from the fortress to the table. This doesn't mean you have to agree on everything, and you won't. You will not be able to do that. Peter didn't suddenly become a Roman centurion, and Cornelius didn't suddenly become a Jewish fisherman. They remained distinct. But there is something mysterious that the gospel has accomplished here, and that the hostility was gone. Identify one place in your life where maybe you have been building a wall. Maybe it's in the break room at work. Maybe it's with a neighbor whose yard sign does a little bit more than just annoy you. Maybe it's simply in how you talk about a certain group of people in front of your kids. Do something today that signals to that person, I see you, and you are not common. Ask a question instead of making a statement. Offer a kindness instead of a critique. Share a meal, a coffee, or just a genuine smile. This is a long obedience. And friends, listen, you may already be thinking about a million, yeah, but what about? What I'm talking about right now, this will not fix everything. Certainly won't do it overnight. But every time you choose curiosity over judgment, every time you choose to welcome over withdraw, you are stepping out of the house of fear into the fresh air of the kingdom of God. You are echoing the reality of Acts 10 right here in Central Ohio. Friends, thanks for tuning in to the Drivecast. See you back here tomorrow.